You're listening to Greater LA. It's KCRW's show that connects you to the people and places of Southern California. I'm Steve Chiotakis. It's prom season. Last year, Reza Shamji was a Brentwood High School junior, and he set up a promposal to ask a classmate to the big dance. He held up a sign and some flowers, waiting for his potential prom date to walk into her living room.
Stop!
You got a prom with me?
She said yes, and they had fun, which is a good thing, because now that Reza's a high school senior, and it's almost time for his final prom, well, forget it, because the COVID-19 pandemic is squashing all kinds of high school rites of passage.
We had quarter three of our second semester, but that still is a stressful time for most kids because they're finding out about university, about college. And the one quarter we all been waiting for was this one, of course. And it's not as big of a deal compared to the amount of chaos that's happening in this world. But it's just that at this moment, all of the, you know, prom, this ceremony we have called candlelighting, where a senior passes a candle to a junior, senior night, just that. And like, we do this thing at Brentwood called the bathroom party, where the seniors just raid the male and female bathrooms, just do a party for like half an hour, just blast music. It's just a fun time. It's the last time we get to be with each other.
It all slipped away before he even realized it was gone.
And everyone went to school thinking that this is just a joke, whatever, not taking it seriously. And we ended school and no one realized that was the last day we had as seniors or any of the students in the high school that we probably would have together ever.
KCRW's Angel Carreras talked to Reza Shamji and other LA high school seniors to see what it's like to end your school career, not with a bang, but with a whimper while stuck at home.
Just a few months ago, high schoolers were worrying about homework, college admissions, regular stuff. Reza Shamji, for instance, is lucky to be choosing now whether to attend college at Harvard or Princeton. But before that choice, prom. He's one of the organizers. The theme this year was supposed to be rustic wedding. He was in the middle of the logistics of it all.
So beforehand, we had this venue in downtown LA where we basically, like, as you know, like the bus rides to the venue is the best time. Like, you're in the party bus, whatever, you're having fun. So we made it a little farther location so they could have a good amount of time to get there.
The prom committee is grappling now with how to even try to replace the big dance.
But now, because we don't know when it's happening, the only thing we can think about and that we've talked about really is, of course, over the phone, over Zoom. And we're texting a bunch, and we haven't met in a week and a half yet in this group. And we haven't had a bunch of ideas other than that because we just don't know how else we could do it.
And that's a position many students are finding themselves in at the moment. Not knowing how else, besides Zoom, you could do much of anything their senior year before they and their classmates go their separate ways to college.
Well, we recently learned that we would not get the rest of the year together. So there was like some tears, you know, some drama. But at this point, I think we're just trying to hang in there, just a little bit of boredom, at least for me, and just trying to figure out what to do with the rest of my year to make it worthwhile and spend it with the people that I care about.
That's Madeline Smith. She's a junior at Notre Dame Academy in West LA. She's planning to go to Carleton College in Northfield, Minnesota in the fall. Before coronavirus, she was stressed out by the work it took to get into college. Late nights, early mornings, no time for herself, but she doesn't regret it.
The stress was worth it. The work that I did was worth it for sure. And I'm glad like that brought me to the school that I'm going to now.
But who do you celebrate these accomplishments with when everyone is quarantined?
I do miss hanging out with my friends. It's quite different on Zoom. It just does not feel the same. And being on campus, I never really realized how much being on campus was a part of my whole high school experience, because I still see my teachers and I still see my friends, but that was like a really important place to me. And hopefully I get to visit it, I mean, before I go off. But yeah, I miss that.
Her school's prom is canceled. And that next big initiation into adulthood, high school graduation, that's up in the air. For students, it's not so much the act of graduating that's important, but who it's with and what it means.
The thing about like graduation in particular, it was never about getting up and walking. It was always more about the people that I would get to walk with. So I think we'd all be sad just because we don't get to see those people one last time and be able to say goodbye to people in our class.
That's Gemma Clark, a classmate of Madeline's. She's going to attend Salve Regina University in Rhode Island. She'll be moving to a new state and city for college, or at least she's supposed to. It's possible she'll have to do her freshman year from mom and dad's house. The university hasn't told her what to expect.
They've said a lot of things about, like, admissions events that were scheduled, like tours and things like that. They've tried to reschedule for online events, but nothing specific about move-in for next year.
And it's not just Californian students heading out of state. There's plenty of uncertainty in-state, too. Ashley Lewis, for example, is a senior at Long Beach Poly High School. She was supposed to be heading to Cal State Fullerton on a basketball scholarship. Then they turned their fall semester online only.
I didn't get to finish my senior year right, so now I'm going into college. I want to start it off right, and then it gets pushed back to online school. So it's a little disappointing.
She was excited. She pinned a tweet on her Twitter feed with a couple pics of her clad in her Cal State Fullerton Titans uniform. She was thinking a lot about her upcoming year. But now with classes going strictly online, her fall basketball season is over before it starts.
Definitely going to be different and upsetting because, like, I've worked all this time to be able to play basketball in college. And then everyone, you know, when they graduate high school or get into high school, like in the later years, they're looking to go into college and finding the right college for them. So I found the right college for me and the place where I would be able to improve in sports. And then, like, both of it gets taken away so quickly. It's really disappointing.
Regardless of this new set of anxieties, these kids still have hope.
Yes. I think I'm just trying to be optimistic that quarantine will not last forever. Eventually, we're going to have to be out of self-isolation.
They still have friends, family, and each other. Maybe one day they can all celebrate their accomplishments in person when this is all over. Until then, a text or a Zoom meeting will have to do. For KCRW, I'm Angel Carreras.
Oh my God.
Coming up, are you hungry? No, not for that rectangular school pizza at the cafeteria, although that was one of my favorites. Are you hungry to go out to eat? Hungry to have a dining experience again at a place outside of your kitchen or living room? How restaurants in LA are managing, or whether they're managing, and what they're doing to help one another? You're listening to Greater LA on KCRW.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
Moving on now with Greater LA on KCRW. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The restaurant industry, yeah, it has taken a huge hit during the COVID-19 pandemic. Thousands of restaurant workers are unemployed. And if you are still working somehow in the industry, you're putting yourself at risk. Well, now LA County says it's going to start a public listing of restaurants that have had COVID-19 outbreaks. Mona Holmes writes for Eater LA. She's our regular contributor to Greater LA, of course. Hey, Mona.
Hey, Steve.
And also joining us is Chef Royce Burke from Secret Lasagna and Market, which is a brand new takeout and delivery service that's also providing food for struggling restaurant workers. Royce, welcome to you.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you so much for having me.
Mona, I want to start with you because this announcement from LA County that it's going to start publicly listing restaurants that have had these outbreaks. What do you think the impact of that announcement is going to be on an already struggling industry?
Steve, as you mentioned, restaurants in Los Angeles and everywhere are fighting an uphill battle right now. I think that the hardest thing for restaurants has been to keep up with the, aside from closing their dining rooms, was to keep up with the new standards and rules that have been coming out since last month. Sometimes they change by the hour, sometimes by the day or weekly. So they're already on edge, and this will be already another pivot that they'll have to adapt to in this really rapidly changing landscape in hospitality. But I have questions, though, and we haven't quite gotten all the answers. So a lot of us in the restaurant reporting world are trying to find out how they'll actually implement this policy on the ground. But we'll be keeping an eye on it.
You think, Mona, this is a necessary public health policy, or do you think that something that could further hurt restaurants right now is what's happening here?
It's a tough one, Steve. I do believe that disclosure is a good thing. But right now, everyone's on edge. Everyone's figuring out how to stay safe. And restaurants are trying to figure out how they're going to keep their customers safe, their employees safe, and prevent the further spread of COVID-19. I mean, even at Justa and Mozzaplex, they temporarily closed after having confirmed COVID-19 cases amongst their workers. So for Justa in Venice, they announced on March 30th that one of their employees tested positive, and noted Mozza chef Nancy Silverton announced on April 3rd that she tested positive for COVID-19, and she's recovered and has since tested negative, and they've reopened. But here's where this could present a problem. If a restaurant is listed as having a COVID-19 outbreak on their on the Department of Health's website, that could deter customers from wanting to eat their food or even give them some business. Now, mind you, restaurants are already some of the cleanest places in any industry. I've seen it. The health department can stop by for an inspection anytime, and they still are. And staffs are constantly cleaning their services. They're practicing safe food handling. I have a lot of trust in how they do things. And I hope that Angelinos do too. But by listing them on a website in the county could be detrimental, even though they're probably very likely taking extra measures to make sure that their spaces are safe. So yeah, it could have a negative impact on them.
Chef Royce Burke, I want to bring you into the conversation. What are you hearing from your friends and your colleagues in the restaurant industry about this announcement?
I mean, I think everyone is caught. I mean, everyone's just nervous about everything. We're always, like Mona said, trying to adapt to every new change, always be, we're working with the health department directly, as I think everybody in our industry is, trying to make sure we're keeping our employees and ourselves safe, as well as, the customer. I think, restaurants need to be able to reopen as soon as possible to stay alive, but also no one wants to reopen their doors if it's going to mean a re-up of this pandemic.
Talk to me a little bit about in the face of these desperate times, Chef, you're trying to do something to keep people working, but also to help those in need. I want to know more about Secret Lasagna and Market, and especially the part where you're giving food to those struggling restaurant workers.
Yeah, Steve, thanks for asking. I think honestly, it's been kind of amazing to see how this has evolved since we opened on March 27th. Right when all this was getting going, I sat down with my partner Andrei Tolmachev and Alyssa Nui. And I was really trying to figure out, what can we do? I was on the phone constantly with people who were closing their businesses and laying off all their employees and just were, losing their life's work. And, I realized that I had access to a really large space in West Hollywood. And then, I had already designed this Secret Lasagna thing as a pop-up about 3 years ago, and it was specifically built for takeout and delivery. That made sense to get going right away with, and I knew I could put some people back to work. We had a large enough space that we were going to be able to, practice social distancing while working. Everyone would be able to wear masks, have their temperatures taken, change gloves probably literally every 20 seconds in between every task, and there's hand washing stations every 5 feet. Then having, we really wanted to think about this not just as a temporary stopgap to keep people employed now, but something that would make sense on the flip side of this. When things, start coming back to quote unquote normal, I think nothing's going to really be normal on the other side of this. And a lot of restaurants are not going to be able to come back. So it was important to me to not just do something that was for this time, that it would make sense on the other side. And so we started building out the market aspect of it and being able to use that to directly benefit Know Us Without You, which is our charity partner. It's a wonderful group of human beings that have been friends for a long time and started this charity specifically to benefit undocumented restaurant workers who've been out of work because no one's been looking out for these people. You know, with every order that people place through a secret lasagna, we're donating a full family meal to No Us Without You for restaurant workers. So I've been really, really grateful to be able to keep people employed, but also just keep feeding people who aren't being taken care of.
Well, at some point, the restaurants are going to open back up. What's that going to look like, Mona? Are we talking about the wait staff with masks? Are we talking about disposable menus? Are we talking about everybody's 10 feet apart, the tables are spaced out, less occupancy, things like that?
What Governor Newsom was saying last week was that when the reopening begins, they'll have to abide by new guidelines. And so, you know, he was already talking about operating at half capacity. That presents a whole new set of challenges. But I do believe that LA restaurants are up for the task, so we'll have to just wait and see.
I want to thank you both, Chef Royce Burke from Secret Lasagna and Market on Santa Monica and La Brea, and Mona Holmes from Eater LA, who's our regular contributor here at Greater LA. Thanks to you both.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
Moving on now with Greater LA on KCRW, I'm Steve Chiatakis. And finally, we're going to go back in time to the recent past when, if you wanted, you could go to a jazz show. Today, we're using the power of radio to take you back to a moment just about 6 weeks ago when musicians gathered to play for a live audience. Remember those days? Let's take a break from the coronavirus, the quarantine, the social distancing for just a few minutes and dig this scene. The band leader is in his element, dressed in a dark suit, red tie, black fedora cap, hunched over a saxophone. But we're not in some smoky den or in a school auditorium in West Adams. And listening to the band are about 200 third and fourth graders. Oh yeah, school was in session about 6 weeks ago. Remember that? This show is put on by Jazz in Schools. It's a program organized by the Los Angeles Jazz Society that brings the music into schools like this one, Cienega Elementary, and others all over LA County. The band leader has led these performances in LA schools for more than 20 years now with his flute, saxophone, or clarinet. He is 83-year-old Charles Owens.
I get up thinking about music. I go to bed thinking about music. So this works out perfectly for me, you know, because we're planting the seed of jazz wherever we go. And it's very rewarding to see the kids respond, so it's a win-win situation.
Reporter Kirsten Zilm recently hung out with Owens. She has the story about a man who's dedicated a long life to the music he loves.
At the school, Charles and his band play songs the kids know but never thought about as jazz, like Charlie Brown and Pink Panther themes. The musicians show the kids how to play their instruments.
First thing you need to do to play the trumpet is breathe deeply and blow the air. Here we go. One, two, three. Breathe in, blow out.
They demonstrate different elements of jazz, like call and response. They even ask kids to sit behind the drum set and play their own solo.
Go, Jay. Yeah. Yeah.
After almost an hour of educational performance, all the kids and teachers smile, sway in their chairs, and tap their feet to the music.
Thank you.
Charles was about the same age as these kids when he touched a saxophone for the first time on a trip to visit his father's family in Oklahoma.
Everybody in his family played an instrument. There was a saxophone, trumpet, piano, drums, trombone, just sitting around in the living room. And we were there for a week. So I had a good time playing, messing with all the instruments. I wasn't playing, I was just messing with them.
Back home in California, he asked his mother, could she send for his Uncle Henry's saxophone? She did.
It was a silver tone, silver alto made by Sears and Roebuck. And I've been attempting to play ever since and enjoying it.
He wanted to play like Charlie Parker. Charles started playing gigs with friends, joined the Air Force Band, and eventually studied music in Boston and Los Angeles. He caught on. His improvisations lit up the room. He could handle any challenging run on the sax, and he mastered one instrument after another. The flute, the bassoon, clarinet, oboe, English horn, not to mention the piano. He toured with jazz greats like Buddy Rich and Mongo Santa Maria's Afro-Cuban band, always eager to learn from them.
I've sat next to some of the greatest musicians in the world, talked to them, and, you know, just hear these guys, you know. It made me want to be better.
Studios still call him. He played in the movie La La Land. Here, he is playing on the stage behind Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone. In the scene, Gosling's character shares his love of jazz.
You know, you have to see it. You have to see what's at stake. I mean, look at these fellas. Look at the sax player right now. He just hijacked the song. He's on his own trip. Every one of these guys is composing, they're rearranging, they're writing, and they're playing.
Now Charles has become the teacher, the elder that young musicians look up to and want to get the chance to work with. Like Michael Alvidres, a Latin jazz bass player. To him, Charles Owens is a living legend. For 3 years, Michael has played with him at elementary schools, in orchestras, and bands at local clubs.
He's one of my favorite people. He's just, you know, he always encourages you to play with heart and, you know, just fun. You know, he makes the music fun. He knows so much history. He's got lots of stories, wisdom, and he'll crack a joke when you least expect it.
Now that he is over 80, to pass on what he learned has become Charles' main passion. He teaches a weekly jazz class at UCLA and just started his 9-year-old grandson on the saxophone.
It's funny about that. I have to give him $10 a lesson to practice. My point is, you can make money playing the horn. That's what Grandpa does. I go out, I make $200 or $300 and come back and pay a bill or buy you a toy, but you can earn money by playing this horn.
Charles sits down more on stage than he used to when his band members play their solos. It's harder for him now to carry all his instruments. His memory is not as sharp anymore as he would like it. But the fingers on the sax are as loose as they always were, and Charles still practices his instruments for hours every day.
Sometimes I like to just make up music because I figured that there's still sounds that I haven't made yet, and maybe nobody else has either.
Charles will play the saxophone until there's no more sound for him to find. For KCRW, I'm Kerstin Zinn.
That's all we have time for today, but I gotta tell you, KCRW is obviously not immune to the economic disruption that is the new norm. The mission of our Mission Critical fundraiser is so we can be there for everyone, you and everyone else in greater LA. In order to keep this vital service going, we'd sure appreciate your support. Give what you can afford to, and do it for those who cannot. There are a lot of budgets crashing at the moment. Today we ask that you give what you can, if you can. If you can't give, don't worry. We're here for everybody, but if you can, do it for your neighbor. KCRW.com/give and do it today. A big incentive in the coming hours. If we can raise $25,000 by tomorrow night, your gift will be matched dollar for dollar Thank you, Deb Ramo and her husband, Jim, our KCRW board member. Thank you so much for their support. And of course, we appreciate your support as well, your daily lifeline, KCRW. Hope you'll subscribe to the podcast, too, while you're online. We'd love to talk to you every single day as well. Jenna Cagle, Rebecca Mooney, Danielle Chiriguayo, Sonia Geis, Desmond Taylor, Mario Saavedra, Phil Richards, Ray Guarna, Amy Ta, Christine Comito, and Christian Bordahl all make this show happen day in and day out. Some at home, some at our studios around LA. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for your ears and your time. Find some beauty today and take care of yourself.